Okay, what's good, everybody?
What's going on? What's going on?
What up?
Yeah, we're just gonna wait for a few people to hop in there and get started with this dope conversation. But first, I'm gonna introduce myself. I'm Galen's Gadgets, and this is the Trust the Tech podcast with my boy Delvon Digital.
What up?
What up? We got a special guest in here, Ray, aka Twinfold Tech.
What's up?
Yeah, definitely one of the most interesting channels that I've seen. Like here recently, just a really dope new creator. How long have you been doing YouTube?
I have only been doing YouTube, like in terms of like tech stuff, since about April of this year.
Yeah,
I started in April. I'm using literally the same stuff I started with, but I've been doing like video and content creation for a few years, and I had a few podcasts. Used to have a YouTube channel back, like all the way back in high school and throughout college and stuff. So yeah, I'm not new to YouTube exactly, but I'm new to the tech space of YouTube.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, we could always use room, and we could always use like representation of people like us for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm gonna definitely post your link in the chat.
Appreciate you. Yeah, man, that's one thing that's been pretty cool. Just like a lot of dope Black creators. That's been like a dream.
Yeah, man, I love it, man.
Yeah,
it's a big dog.
Yeah, Twitter's definitely like one of the best things to like, I feel like, to happen to just us creators in general, just mm-hmm. the way we're able to network with each other and find the people who are just like us. I just think that's super dope.
Yeah. 100%. I just love the energy that everybody gives off each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, we normally keep everything positive and we try to look out for each other and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, it's so dope.
That's what I really love about it the most. I mean, my quit new thing, man, for real, man. Like, after I got monetized and I see how much money, how hard it is to actually make money from this thing, I was just like, I don't know, man. Like,
yeah, and it's dope because like people who've been doing it longer are just like super cool. So you could just like ask them like basic questions and they'll always be there to answer. People like Barry, people like Technically T, Juan, back now, just so many dope creators able to help us out. I still feel like a rookie, and I've been doing it 2 years, so.
Hey, man, it's been 1 year for me, and I still feel like a rookie, man. People, you know, they love my work and stuff, and I still don't think it's good enough every time I shoot, you know?
Nah, so, man, your setup is dope. I've watched a lot of both of you all's work. I'm going to say work. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say content, because it is work, and it really shines through. It shines through in what y'all do, so yeah, definitely. I take some notes here and there, see if I can maybe tweak my setup or whatever based off of what I see from you all and some other creators. So yeah, definitely big ups to y'all.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Appreciate that.
So the reason I brought you on here was just mainly because like a tweet or Twitter interaction that we had, just talking about security and privacy and like what type of apps and workarounds you do to like keep your own content secure. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people do that in 2022 because we're just so quick to sell our souls to Google and Apple for real. I mean, honestly, I don't care about security, like just to keep it 100, I don't care about security at all anymore, like just because I know another app's going to be taking my data and location and all that. So I basically gave up probably 5 years ago in trying to, like keep myself secure, really. So I'm not like trying to be too nosy or anything. Like, what do you do for work? Like, is that like linked into like what you do for work, or
honestly,
why do you go out of the way to stay secure and private?
It's not really at all having anything to do that for me. I'm a human resource professional, so I work in HR.
Okay, yeah, so, but it's because like a lot of people that pay attention to that type of stuff or like have a security or IT background.
Mm-hmm. I've just always been curious about things like having to do with tech and stuff. Like, everybody's always surprised when they find out that I don't actually work in tech or anything having to do with that. But yeah, for me, I've just always been fascinated by gadgets and tech and whatnot. And the privacy thing for me, I kind of started getting on that wave maybe a little bit after like the whole I don't know if you heard about the Facebook and Cambridge Analytica like data mining stuff that went on, like all that mess around the 2016 election. That kind of got me thinking about it. And that's when I ended up actually deleting my Facebook, because it was like scraping data from not just people who took some kind of like informal quiz or something, one of those personality quizzes or something on Facebook. It was scraping the data of like all of their connections and their connections. And then I just kind of went down that rabbit hole. I was just like, Jesus Christ, Facebook is pretty terrifying. And then you find out all these other companies are terrifying too. So, yeah.
So, how do you feel about like some of the other apps? Like, I remember you guys remember like a few years ago when like all those Chinese apps were coming out, they were like, you'd take a picture and it would like make you look older or something like that.
FaceApp, I think it was called FaceApp.
Yeah, FaceCam or FaceApp or something like that. It was like a lot of those, like I'd say in the last 5 years, like they would just get super popular mainly from Facebook or like another form of social media and then die out because a lot of people were saying that it was a Chinese app and people would steal your data and all that. So like, how do you guys feel about that? Do you guys like ever use those apps? Do you guys use TikTok? Because that's the latest one. A lot of people are saying that TikTok's probably not going to be a thing in the US soon.
I'll let you take that one first, Delvon, if you want.
Because I ain't really all into this security stuff, man. so mine's going to be a little short, though. I don't use those apps because I just don't like them, but I would not use them because of the privacy situation. I really don't believe privacy really exists when it comes to dealing with, you know, mobile internet connections and, you know, anything that ties information over the web, period. You know, so when it comes to that, it's a high risk, no matter what company, no matter what app, what a brand, whatever, it don't really matter. Mm-hmm. So to me, I just don't really care, you know, for the luxury of using it. I'll take that risk. And that's how I feel about that, you know. But I just don't use those apps because I don't like them. So, but I thought it was kind of crazy when I heard about it. And I was like, dang, you know. And I informed people. I was like, just letting you know, there is a rumor saying that app is getting your data and your information.
Right,
China and stuff. So just, I like to let people know. But, you know, it's up to them if they care or not. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say for me, the reason that those are some of the reasons why I don't use those apps myself, because number one, I don't like them because it's just trying to get you like to stay on there and, you know, get worked over by the algorithm and stay on that app or that website for as long as possible and just, you know, melt your brain. But on the other side of that, the privacy or security aspect, it's like, you know, you do give up some convenience to really be more privacy and security minded. Like, you know, you can't just, you know, swipe up and activate the Google Assistant or, you know, say, hey, Siri or hey, Google or anything like that. Sorry if your phones are going off because of that. But, you know, you can't really, you know, do those things because you're turning off all of these permissions all the time and different stuff like that. So for me, like I was already kind of in that mindset before TikTok ever really became a thing. So once I kind of found out that it had, you know, all those just kind of insidious features about it, I was just glad that I never ever installed it on my phone. But I do see so many people in my family, you know, even my dad has TikTok, which is beyond me. I really don't know why. But yeah, even my dad has TikTok. So it's just, you know, trying to, you know, have conversations with the people in my life about, you know, how we can be a little bit more privacy minded, because Delvon, like you were right, like at a certain point, I think Galen, you said it too. Privacy kind of doesn't exist to a certain extent, but it also, there are some things you can do to kind of claw a little bit of it back, just taking tiny steps. But yeah, I never really installed any of those TikTok apps or the face tuner apps or whatever that stuff is, because it is getting sent back to China. But I don't want to sound like xenophobic. I mean, you got you know, Meta right here, you got Google right here, all the different companies that are within the US that are doing the same thing, but it kind of gets, I guess, like a little testy with some people when they find out it's going to China. But you know, the US is doing the same things here.
I agree 100%. Yeah, that was going to be like my next question. Google services is probably like the most used, like, I don't even know what to call it. Cloud service, I guess that's what I'll call it. That's like the most used cloud service, like in the United States right now, with all the Android users that we have, and a lot of even iPhone users use a lot of Google services. Yep. So, like, what's the difference between that? And well, the difference is Google's US based, but still, it's a company taking your data and sharing it for their benefit.
I don't really see any difference, honestly. Like, there's no real mechanical difference, because at the end of the day, you know, both of these well, not both of these companies, but both different companies in both countries are going to be trying to find ways to monetize your data, sell it to advertisers, and make money off of you as much as they can. Monitor your time on site. I mean, Apple just recently got in some hot water about monitoring your activity on the App Store. You know, seeing, you know, tracking where you're looking, how long you're in there, the things that you're doing. So, I mean,
even Apple your touches.
Yeah, your touch, exactly.
That was crazy.
That's the scary part. Like, you know, where you touch precisely on the screen. Like, and Apple is one of the people, or I keep saying people, but one of the companies, organizations that are always talking about how private they are and, you know, how much they care about your security. It's like they, you know, keep everything in their walled garden, including your data, so that way they can monetize it and make money off of you within their little playground, their little sandbox. They may not sell it to the highest bidder like your Googles or your Facebook, but they are still, you know, tracking you and monitoring your behavior, your location and everything, and making money off of that. So,
yeah, I, you know, when it comes to the whole Google privacy and iOS or Apple privacy thing, Google kind of like make it blatant to the user that we're doing this with your data.
Yeah,
and Apple markets privacy.
Yeah,
and Apple markets it, and then doing stuff with your data like Google doing. They're they're not doing anything different, you know. And they're just marketing the privacy, so people start to believe that Apple actually cares about their privacy. So that's like the whole myth right now, is that people believe that Apple is more private than Google and stuff like that, because Google is just kind of like open with it. And I would rather have a company that's actually open with it than somebody like Apple, because like you say, they're getting sued right now before for that information that somebody discovered. And that's insane, because like when I heard about, you know, them doing that, and like they can track your touches on the screen and how much, like you said, how long you've been in Apple, what apps you're looking for. That, that's insane.
That's some in-depth information.
Yeah. It is. So how far are these companies really going with our information at this point? You know what I'm saying?
As far as we let them go, man.
You're right. That is some crazy stuff.
The other thing, kind of like piggybacking on your comparison between Google and Apple, I think the same way about the U.S. Versus China or any other countries that we are adversarial to. It's just like, okay, well, China, at least like all of the people that live in China know they're under surveillance. The Chinese government does not try to hide that at all. Whereas the U.S., you know, you got folks like Snowden and all that stuff with the Patriot Act, all that kind of stuff, and all these whistleblowers and whatnot. The U.S. government tries to act like they aren't in cahoots with Apple or not in bed with Google or Facebook. Right. And all of these companies work with the feds. So they try to act like it's more clandestine and under the rug and like, oh, we're not really doing that. We're not really getting that information. But, you know, China is made out to be the bad guy because, I mean, at least they're upfront about it.
Open.
You know
what I mean? That's what I'm saying. They're open about it. I would rather have a company be open about it than somebody who's closed about it. And we're closed about it. They're open about it. Google's open about it. Apple's closed about it. That's some scary stuff right there, bro. I like it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, 100% on that. So like, just while we're on this topic, I want to talk about like permissions, because I feel like cell phone permissions are pretty much like out of hand right now, in terms of just like security and privacy. Like when I like verbally say something, I'll see an ad for it on Facebook within the next 20 minutes. Like it's literally that bad. Like I'm not even joking. Like I will not search it on my phone. Like, I'll be talking to my girlfriend about something. I can't remember the latest example, but this was like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. I said something and I see a Facebook ad for it, like, automatically as soon as I open Facebook. Like, this data mining, and it's completely gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
I see why Google does it. Google does it in a way where it's beneficial to you. Like
more relevant ads.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. With Google Feed and Google, just like your Google News and all that, they do like have resources for you, but companies like Facebook are literally just grabbing it and going.
Exactly.
Send you anything.
Well, so that's always the thing that people like to talk about. Like they say, oh, well, you know, I like to see things that I care about or things that I'm interested in these advertisements or in these different pieces of content that are recommended to me. For me, like, I don't know. I'm always willing to be inconvenienced if I can save myself some privacy points somewhere. Like, I would rather go and search what I'm interested in rather than it being fed to me through the algorithm and through all of my history. Like, I'm a YouTube creator. I have YouTube Premium, but I have like my YouTube search history turned off, like all those recommendation settings turned off because I don't want anything recommended to me. So I'll be watching one of y'all's videos and then I'll get recommended something that's like a 1942 war documentary or something because it's like that, it's that bad. Like I've gone that far off the deep end where they don't know what I want to watch because, I don't have any of that stuff turned on. But even still, just because I'm on the site and the more I click on stuff and the more I do stuff, they will still see that even though my watch history is off. So, you can get little points back here and there, but they're always going to have some sort of information. But it's just about kind of taking a little bit more control over what you share. And I think that's really the important thing is being able to give that agency back to the end user and saying, hey, like if you sell us your data, you'll get, like free YouTube Premium or something like that. I'm like, okay, I would do that. That's a cool trade.
Good trade-off.
You don't get anything back in return other than, being advertised to or being fed more content. Mm-hmm. So you can stay on the site longer. So that's one of the bigger things for me. It's just like, they just want you to stay on the site and then they want you to click on these ads that they've sold you.
So you think it would be more justifiable if we got more out of it, basically?
Yeah, just give people control over their data and give people control over what happens to their data. Because data, there's one podcast that I watch channel that I watch called The New Oil, and he's a more privacy and security minded guy. And The New Oil is our data. So mm-hmm. we're the owners of the data. So why should we, not get a say in how it's used, and why should we not get anything out of it? I mean, you don't go to work and come back home with no wages. you go to work and you get paid. You put something in and you get something out. So I think the same should be said for our data.
Yeah, that's a good comparison right there.
I'm with you on that. I'm like half and half with that because I agree with everything that you said on one end. And then at the same time, if you're going to feed me ads, I'd rather be ads that I'm interested in. So I kind of I'm kind of okay with the ads, but I wish, like what you said, we can have a little bit more control mm-hmm. about that, but we don't. I found like a lot of cool phone cases, from the ads and stuff like that, from different companies and stuff. So it's not all bad for me. So, I don't like ads, but if you're going to give it to me, at least give me something that I'm interested in seeing versus, that I'm not. I know when I use my iPhone or I'm on Facebook or certain apps, I get ads that don't even relate to anything that I like, but, anything Google related, mm-hmm. Google remembers, I literally could go on Google search and search up like chicken strips or something like that. Then it makes me know they're showing food restaurants with chicken strip pictures on my Instagram. And I'm like, it's always like 3 seconds after. Like they so fast with it, bro. They so fast. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy how it works. I just want to know, like, legit how it works.
I
have no clue, but it happens so fast. It's either amazingly good or just amazingly annoying. Like it's no in between. It's just like, yo, come on, bro. Because the first thing you think to yourself is like, how do you, I just searched that like 2 seconds ago. Why is all this popping up everywhere? That's scary, Then at the same time, you might be like, oh, okay, well, this helped me out because I was definitely looking for a place I wanted some chicken.
Right.
So I don't know, man.
I like this this comment that you've got highlighted here. So it says people are now even installing Graphene OS on their Pixels so they can turn off all the trackers and Google doesn't have one bit of a clue what they're doing on their device. So that is one of the most ironic things about being like a privacy minded person. The most secure and the easiest gadgets or phones to make the most private and secure are going to be Google phones. Graphene OS, I don't run Graphene. I run Calyx OS on my devices that I run, just custom ROMs on. So I have Calyx OS installed on this Pixel 4a, one, because I love small phones, and then two, because I wanted to just see what Calyx OS was like. And this is probably the most, I guess, like user friendly version of, a privacy ROM, but also still giving you like a lot of solid features. Like it doesn't feel like you're lacking. It just feels like you have a lot more control because I have Google apps on this device. Because you know, I installed the Gcam, I install Google Photos, but I can turn off all of the you know, background network connections that, you know, these apps make, because, you know, Photos is always connected to the internet. The camera app is always connected to the internet on your regular devices. But, you know, on Calyx OS, you can block all this stuff off. So I can have those convenient Google apps, and they don't come pre-installed. All the Calyx apps come pre-installed, but I can have those apps installed and not have to worry about data, you know, leaking out. So I think that's pretty neat.
Man, that reminds me of the BlackBerry days right there, man.
Let us know a little more about that. Like, what's the process of, like, of installing that Calyx OS? How do you spell that? C-A-L-Y-X? Okay.
Yep, C-A-L-Y-X. So Calyx makes it like super, super easy to install this. I mean, I am not by any stretch of the imagination like any sort of like coder or hacker or anything like that. I'm not a spy or anything. So when I went to Calyx's website, they got like a couple different options. You can buy phones, Pixels already with Calyx OS installed, or you can just install it yourself on Pixels. And they even support all the way back to the Pixel 3, I want to say. So it's pretty dope. And they also branched out a little bit to OnePlus phones and Xiaomi phones. But I think because of something on Android 12, they lost being able to support the OnePlus phones. I think it was the OnePlus 9 and 9 Pro that they started with. But yeah, it's very user friendly, and they have like a whole step by step guide on there on how to install it. I mean, you'll plug up your phone and start running the stuff on there, and you'll feel like, you know, Mr. Robot. You'll feel like Elliot on Mr. Robot, because you'll see like all of the code running down the screen and everything. It's pretty dope, but it's super simple.
Yeah, I heard about this. I don't know. I don't know if I care enough to install it. That's just me.
Don't get me wrong, man. I still rock a normal, you know, regular Google Pixel. I got the Pixel 7. But when I want to bug out, I like to have the Pixel 4 here with Calyx. I would run it on my 7, but I just want to have that on stable Android 13.
I got you. So since we're talking about that, we're going to get into like some of the other things that you do to just like stay more private and secure. One of the things you said on Twitter is that you use Bromite. Which is basically like a form of Google Chrome that's de-Googleized, right?
Yeah. So it's like a fork of Google Chrome, because like most Google stuff, it's all open source, meaning, you know, like the code is there. Anybody can audit the code and be able to see what it does and does not do. Yeah. And you have a version of Chrome like that we all know, just regular Google Chrome. Then you have vanilla Chrome or de-Googled Chrome, which is just Google Chrome without any of the googly bits in there that have all the tracking and all of their special like third-party cookie tracking and all that stuff. And then you also have Bromite, which is going to be made side by side with the un-Googled or vanilla Chromium, and Bromite is just going to be a little bit more hardened, security, privacy friendly version of that. Because you can see right there in that screenshot, you've got the Chromium logo right there to the left, that like blue looking Google Chrome logo. That's the Chromium logo. And they're made, Bromite and Chromium are seemingly made side by side. So you can't get Bromite off of the apps, the regular Google Play Store. You have to get that off of their website or either off of F-Droid.
So what's like the major difference between this browser and browsers like, let's just say, Opera or other third party browsers that claim they're secure?
I personally have never
browser or something like that.
I've never used Opera, but I do also use Brave. So Brave is another great kind of out of the box alternative for people who like really love Google Chrome. Like I have my mom and my sister on Brave because it's so just user friendly, easy. You can download it from the Google Play Store and you can just pick it up and go. And just out of the box, it's probably the most like user friendly, but also most privacy minded and secure Chromium based browser that is out there. What would the difference would be with Bromite is it's going to kind of stick a little bit more to that Google Chrome look. Like Brave has its own like skin, its own look. It's got like some crypto stuff built in there as well, which is kind of crapware to me. You have to kind of turn some of that stuff off. But they do have like a digital currency that, you know, creators can use in there and earn like make earnings off of stuff like that. It's all kind of like a rabbit hole sort of thing. I don't want to go down that path, but yeah, so Brave has like their own proprietary stuff, whereas Bromite is going to be more sticking to the Chrome features without the Chrome crap thrown in there. That's gonna track you. And it allows you to just toggle a lot more features on and off than what you would get in the normal Google Chrome browser.
Okay, I gotcha. So just side quest. Redbeard asked, speaking of privacy, isn't Google feature dropped for next month, including the new VPN they have? That's going to be dope. Is that coming on every
it is going to be dope. Pixel,
or is it just the new ones?
The sevens. I believe. Sevens.
Okay.
It's probably going to be a feature drop later for the other ones, as always, but it's definitely hitting the sevens first.
Yep.
The new series.
Yep. We got you, Redbeard. We got some pixel specialist in here.
I find it ironic though, because like I looked at their policy, because I actually have access to the Google VPN already because I use Google Fi, and I guess like I have like the top tier of Fi or whatever, so they give you free Google VPN, and I would honestly never use that. It's basically like Mike Tyson telling you he wants to give you boxing lessons with no gloves on. He's going to beat the crap out of you. And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, free boxing lessons with Mike Tyson. But he's like not going to hold back. But yeah, the Google VPN, like I looked at some of their like verbiage, kind of like in the fine print or whatever, and they still are going to be doing like some of the same tracking and stuff. Like they,
I knew like they normally do.
I mean, I just I get it, like because you know you want to have that easy access tool to help, you know, kind of what's the word?
Block out other traffic.
Yeah, block out that traffic from your ISP, because your ISP does the same thing. They see everything you do, and then they sell that to advertisers as well. But you know, with Google, it is cool that they're trying to make that a more mainstream, universal feature that people are aware of, or mainstream program people can use. But at the same time, they're still going to Google it up and put their own little spin on it. So it's kind of like shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, essentially,
I thought it was going to be that way. Go ahead, Gabe. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, essentially, that's making it easier for Google to grab your data since you're working on their private network, right?
But it's more closed house now, like Apple.
Yep, exactly. So I mean, speaking of VPNs, one really, really great company that I pretty much have all of their services, and they're kind of trying to be like somewhat of a privacy competitor to Google, would be Proton. I don't know if you ever heard of them, like Proton VPN, Proton Mail. So Proton VPN is really, really nice. That's probably my favorite VPN service that I use. There are some that are a little bit more hardened and a little bit more secure out there, but Proton, I think, tries to keep that good balance between being accessible and also, you know, being secure. So they have the VPN, they have the mail, the email, they have the drive, and then they have the calendar as well. So, I use pretty much all my stuff that I would normally use like G apps for. I'm using Proton apps in place of
that. Okay, that makes sense. That was my next. That was actually going to be a question I was going to ask on this episode. Do you guys use VPNs regularly?
Mm-hmm.
I do when I'm trying to be sneaky, but other than that, no. I'll be honest with you, when I'm trying to do things that my internet provider won't allow me to do, you know, that's when I, you know, click on that VPN.
You're selling the high seas, sir.
There you go. But yeah, but not all the time, because I don't like a lot of VPNs. They slow down your data transfers and stuff, and I hate it. You got to pay more for faster, and it's just stupid because I just want all the speeds that I already pay for through my carrier or my provider. But you're
right. Yeah, that makes sense.
But I get it, because, you know, again, if you want that protection, then that's the price you pay. Again, that's what I said earlier. You know, you're going to have to pay for that. So
you're hitting on like the main thing that I always, you know, when I talk to people about stuff like this, the main thing that they always kind of bring up is like, but maybe they don't necessarily verbalize it. It's like when you when you do privacy minded things, you are giving up a little bit of that convenience. So you get your network traffic, you know, obfuscated from your ISP and any other bad actors when you use a VPN, but you also do have slower, data or Wi-Fi speeds. So you do kind of have to sacrifice that sacrifice a little bit of that convenience to have that privacy. So I'm willing to be inconvenienced to be a little bit more secure in what I'm doing, but not everybody's like that, nor would I expect everybody to want to be that.
Yeah, I think this I is mean, Yeah, I'm gonna be interested to see what like the performance of a Google VPN is gonna be like. I'm really curious about that. While we're talking about like internet speeds and stuff, so how important do you guys think like security updates are for your devices? Personally, I'm pretty clueless about it. Like what a security update does, like for an Android phone or say a Windows laptop or something like that. How important do you guys think that that is, security updates?
Extremely important.
Yeah, I want to say that because it pretty much patches things in the back end to keep your device from being vulnerable from hackers or you know, people actually like me. I'm over here telling on myself. When I was in high school, I was taught how to hack a long time ago when I was in high school by a guy. So I don't do that stuff no more. But whatever I'm saying, it just helps to patch up any patches in the background of your device, so you know your stuff is safe and stuff like that. So I think it's very important. I wish Apple actually had security updates as well. Normally, you know, when they get attacked, they get attacked. They just straight up get attacked, and then you have to wait for like the next iOS version. To actually get it patched up, while Google, you know, they kind of like does it. That's why you hear more about iOS getting hacked more. Not saying Google doesn't, because Google patches it every freaking month. Literally, yeah. They patches, and it's kind of like changing the passcode on your lock every 30 seconds or something like that. Like them high security things. It's more like that. So if you look at it like a high security vault, and I lost focus. Focus on my wife back there. She got my headphones on. Y'all see it? I see it with my AirPods. You see it? Look, she's jamming too. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm going to jail, y'all.
Don't do it on camera.
Yeah, you're right. When they go black, you know what time it is, right? But just look at it like a security vault that has a password that changes consistently to continue to keep your money safe or something like that. That's pretty much how I look at it.
Yep. And to your point though, Nelvon, I think I saw I believe it was Michael Peppertech yesterday saying that in the whatever beta he's running of iOS, I think they are now going to be doing those like targeted security updates, if I'm not mistaken. So that might be something they address whenever they have the next public release of iOS. But yeah, I think like with the security patches, like that is paramount. Like any phones that I don't have that don't get updated, I just get them out of here. Like that's one thing I'm really happy about with Calyx. Like even if you have an out of date Pixel, you're still getting updated through them, which is pretty neat. But the iPhone, I think they now have like some kind of cool mode now called lockdown mode, if I'm not mistaken. They came with iOS 16 something point whatever. But with that, you can now like shut off all of these different connections on your phone, because a lot of people were getting more politically exposed people were getting attacked through crazy spyware. I think it's called like Pegasus or something like that. Apple was kind of getting like left and right, getting hit left and right week after week. And you had all of these kind of like higher up folks getting hit. And now they introduced that lockdown mode, which helps certain stuff. But looking at it, it's kind of like Swiss cheese. Because there's a lot of different holes in what they're trying to do, because it's like, you know, if you are if you put it in lockdown mode, then, you know, no new connections can, you know, make connections to your device. But if you've already like FaceTimed somebody or called somebody or something like that, then they can still call you. So if you're trying to get like super, super lockdown, I don't think they're quite yet there. But I think it is a step in the right direction, though, what they're trying to do. But yeah, they definitely need to get up on their security as much as they like, you know, advertise about it. They need to get up on their privacy and their security. But
I agree with that.
So in reality, do you guys? So there's like a little bit of like back and forth with that, because of course Android is going to be naturally more insecure because of the fact that pretty much anybody can make an app for Android, and it's just like way more open. Apple is just like a super closed down OS. It's pretty hard to even make an app for Apple. So what do you guys think is like naturally more secure? Apple, who only does security updates with their like major updates, or Android, who's has like their monthly security updates, but it's like pretty vulnerable due to the fact of anybody being able to access everything?
I don't like in this situation, I'll go first. I don't think either of them is more secure than the other. It's really up to the end user, because if you think about it, you know, when we download an app from, you know, Apple Security, the App Store, or we download one from the Play Store, it's pretty much asking us for the same permissions. You're giving them the permission to what you want them to do. Apple asks the permissions. Android asks the permissions as well. It's really up to you, because you can't even get past a certain part of getting into the app without giving it permissions. So both of them, you know, to a point, stop you before you get to that point. So it's really up to the end user who is giving them, you know, that information, you know, willingly. And I don't think either is, you know, more secure than the other, but I do think that on the Android side, because you can install certain ROMs like what he has up there now, Graphite, then, you know, but everybody's not going to do that. It'll be the most secure phone that you can have over any iPhone out there, pretty much. I don't know if there's something that you can install on iPhones to make it more secure or whatever, but I know by default you can de-Googleize an Android phone completely. And
yeah,
facts. Yeah.
So
I think that it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, the fact that Android as an OS is open source is also its greatest strength, because people can tinker around with it and find ways to remove all of the googly stuff off of it, like with Calyx and with Graphene and all these other custom ROMs. So I think in a way Android as an OS is more secure, because more people have the ability to see that code base and tinker around with it and play with it. Whereas with Apple, it's a walled garden. But I will say Apple does kind of help on the App Store side, where they don't just let any kind of, you know, foo-foo app in their App Store. You know, you go to the Google Play Store and you'll see all these different kind of crazy apps, and you just don't know what you're going to install sometimes. Whereas with the Apple App Store, I think they have it a lot more locked down. So that's where that closed garden or walled garden does kind of become their saving grace. But I think overall, as a platform, Android is going to be more secure, especially Pixels. I mean, like with for my employer, and like with all of these schools and stuff out here during like the first parts of COVID, they, you know, gave everybody all these laptops because kids were working remote. People were working remote, or I guess kids were doing school remote, but you know what I'm saying? And that's because the Chromebooks are like super secure, and they're also easy to deploy. So, you know, that is another shining point in you know, Google's favor, because I think they are secure, but they just don't really care about the privacy. Like, privacy and security, it's easy to get the two mixed up. Yeah. Like, security is going to be that, like, you know, defense against any person getting access to your data, whereas your privacy is, I guess, just going to not give up any. Yeah, exactly. Making yourself like as anonymous as possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, but yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But you know, but oh, hold on, again, my bad. But on that front, you're right about the App Store on iOS. They are a little bit more strict, but Google's starting to get there now too.
Yeah.
I just recently made a tweet with somebody about how Google is actually, after like, I don't know, like 25,000 years, trying to get serious with a lot of different things now. And, you know, security and the App Store is one of them. They're even like shutting down the whole 32-bit and forcing everything on 64-bit, which they should have did like 20 years ago. Yeah, they should have did that. Apple did the same thing a long time ago. And I feel like Google just so far behind. Like, when it's happening right now, people are like, oh, this is so messed up. Now my apps are not going to work anymore. But I'm like, when at some point, you know, they have to start to do that, you know, and you just happen to meet at that point, because Apple did it too. They stopped supporting the 32-bit and started running to 64-bit apps. And you should, because it's better apps, better support and everything like that. So, yeah, that's all I want to say. So, yeah. What's up, Gabe?
All right. So another thing that you mentioned on Twitter, you use ImagePipe. Explain to everyone what that is.
Okay, so yeah, ImagePipe, and then there's also another app in F-Droid called Scrambled EXIF. Like, what it does is it removes like the metadata from your photos. And that way, when you go to upload your picture, it doesn't have like the camera that you took it on, the focal length, you know, the location data of where you took your picture and all that stuff, because it really does like matter. That's more data that you're feeding to these companies when you don't remove that data from your pictures. Like the first way that I found out about it, or, you know, kind of got a hint of, you know, Facebook and all these other, you know, tech companies being so smart about stealing your data, was I went on Instagram one day several years ago, and I went to my profile and the pictures on my profile didn't upload. What ended up happening was all these describing terms about what was actually in the photos showed up in place of my actual photos. And I'm like, what in the world? It was like cat, sunny day, flowers, blah, blah, blah. Like all of this stuff describing exactly what was in the photo. And yeah. I was like, what? And it showed my location where I took the photo, the camera and the phone that I took it on, all that kind of stuff. And I was just kind of like mind blown. I didn't realize that all of this information was being captured, you know, in your photo that you would, you know, upload online. So that was one kind of, I guess, piece of info that clued me in on that.
Yeah, that's something like you don't even think about every day, but like different smartphone companies, that's been huge like the past 5 years or so, including all that metadata. Like if you just like go into Google Photos and like tap a picture, it tells you literally everything about that
picture. Yo, your address, your where you took the picture at, everything, bro. Yes.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, all of that information is there. Like last week I was going through Google Maps, I got like a notification and it was basically telling me the entire path that I took like one Saturday. Like it showed me every single store I went to, what pictures I showed me the pictures I took at the store, showed me what like path I took to get to the city next to me. Like it was just it's so much data that is shared.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So what those apps do, basically, you after you take a picture, and this is what I do every time I share a picture online, I take a picture and then I, you know, hit the little share icon in the photo gallery, and that sends it to either ImageXIF Scrambled XIF or ImagePipe, and then ImagePipe or Scrambled XIF immediately tries to share it to whatever social media site I choose to share it to after all the data has been scrambled or whatever. So it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. So that's one less thing, one less piece of data that's getting sent out there whenever I do interact online, you know. So I think that's pretty neat.
Okay. So I want you to talk about Knitter now. Knitter, okay. It's an app that you run with Calyx OS, right?
Yeah, so that's also on F-Droid. And so I guess we haven't explained what F-Droid is. F-Droid is going to be the free and open source software app store that you have to kind of like install. It's a third party app store, but it's all the apps on there are free and open source software, meaning they don't cost anything. And the software itself, the code can be audited. Yeah.
One question with that. Do you have to have like a ROM for that, or you can just install it on the Pixel as they are now?
Yeah, I got it. I've got it on every single Android phone that I have, even the ones that aren't running a custom ROM. So yeah, you can install it on any phone, because it's not necessarily like that app store is specifically for people who like want lockdown devices. It's just like nice alternative apps to some of the stuff that you use, but your data isn't being mined while you're using these specific apps. So to Galen's point, there's one app called Knitter. It's kind of like a front end of Twitter, basically. So you can't like log in or use your own account. But whenever I just want to get on Twitter and kind of, you know, see what's been going on, you can just go on there and, you know, search up tweets and, you know, follow people's timelines and different stuff like that. But it's not collecting, you know, all of your data. You're just able to access Twitter without being able to tweet, which is kind of the major point of Twitter, but you're able to access Twitter without being able to tweet and, you know, see all of the stuff that's going on in the timeline without having to sacrifice your data. So yeah, it's kind of boring, honestly, in a way, because most people want to tweet. But again, I am very weird, and I'm, you know, just a privacy dude. Like I said, I'm willing to be inconvenienced to the point where I can't even tweet just to be private. So yeah.
Yeah. See, that's why I give up the privacy for the luxury. So that's just me.
Exactly.
I hear you. I'm on Twitter. I can't imagine not being on Twitter for privacy, man. It'd kill me, bro. Right. I mean, looking at my phone like this. What I do now?
That's the double-edged sword, though, man. Like, you know, when I started making YouTube content, I was like, crap, I'm going to have to download all these apps that I otherwise wouldn't be using. Like, I have an Instagram again now, and I hate Meta. I hate Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, like, the fact that I now have Instagram, an app that I know is, like, actively mining my information on my phone, it's just like, you know, I guess it's, you know, it's just you got to pay to play to a certain degree. So, you know, to be able to make YouTube content and for people to actually see that content, and for me to be able to put myself out there, I have to have the Instagrams, the YouTubes, the Twitters, and different things like that. So I'm warming up more to just kind of just being a casual phone user, because I can't sit here and talk about how awesome the Google Pixel 7 is if I have it, you know, locked down to the gods and just, you know, can't even do any of the fun Google things like call screen anything like that on there. So, you know, it's a balancing act at the end of the day. Like, you know, I want to be able to still enjoy these devices and have fun with them, but I also want to be more privacy conscious. Like, in terms of communication, I've got my whole family using Signal, which is dope. And if they don't want to do Signal, then at least I have an iPhone and we can use iMessage, which is, you know, those two platforms are going to be end-to-end encrypted. And then also have Google Messages as well, but not as many people use Google Messages.
Yeah, not a lot. Yeah, I was just talking to someone about that earlier. Yeah,
but not yet, at least.
Yeah, but with RCS, exactly,
not yet.
Yeah, but RCS is end-to-end encrypted as well. But the thing that Google Messages and iMessage and Signal, the way that they differentiate is going to be, at the end of the day, Apple has the keys, the encryption keys to those messages. So it may be encrypted, but Apple has shown time and time again that they'll, you know, they'll come in the back door because they have the keys to it. And then the same with Google, even though they haven't necessarily had any sort of public issues that come out with that, it's still Google at the end of the day. So they probably got the keys.
We know they probably got it. If Apple got the keys, Google definitely got it. But like I said, Apple is marketing like they don't, and Google just really haven't really said anything, but we kind of figure somewhere down the line they do. But I think the only issue right now with RCS is that it's not enabled by default. I think Google need to, being that they're putting it on every phone coming out, you know, since last year and moving forward, that's a smart thing. That's the first smart move, you know, pre-install, everybody got to have it. Good move. Now you have to make sure that it's enabled because I can't recall how many phones I had to go enable it in my family, you know, because it's not enabled by default. It should just work by default, or at least during the setup process, which I could be wrong. I haven't set up my phone in a long time, so it might actually be in the setup process. I would have to reset a phone to find out, you know, unless somebody else knows in the chat. But I just think that once they do that, then RCS will do good, because Google is surprising me. They're doing a lot, man.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot. You know, a lot of stuff they should have been doing, but, you know, I give it to them. So
I love RCS, man. I want Apple to be able to kind of get off of their high horse, and I want Google to kind of stop, because I feel like Google is coming to the conversation from a point of weakness in a way, like trying to troll Apple. It's like basically, you know, when you are trying, like you just broke up with your girl, or your girl just broke up with you, and you're trying to act like you're not bothered by it, and you posting pictures like living your best life or whatever, but you're really kind of bothered. So I feel like Google is coming at the RCS iMessage conversation that way. All I want at the end of the day, I don't want any iPhone users to lose their feeling specialness with their blue bubbles or anything like that. I don't want a new purple bubble. I don't want any of that. I just want RCS to be the fallback standard instead of SMS and MMS when iMessage is not available. That's all I want. 100%
agree. I just think SMS and MMS is just extremely outdated. So just make RCS the fallback. I've never heard it worded like that. That's exactly what I want.
That's all I want, man.
It's crazy because I feel like in that argument, it's a lot of iPhone users who don't want it. They want to talk trash about us not having a messaging app and all kinds of different things. And then all the Android users, we just want to communicate with our friends, whether they use Android or an iPhone. Yeah. You know, we just want seamless communication. And I'm not saying this is everybody. This is just like what I see. Yeah, it's just what I see on Twitter. I'm not saying all iPhone users are like that or all Android users are like that. It's just that we all just want to be able to communicate with everybody on the same level. That's it. You can keep your blue bubbles. You know, we don't want no color bubbles. We just, like you say, I hate SMS and I hate MMS. I just want RCS to be across the board so I can send stuff to you and that just be that. Unless everybody in the world is going to use the same third-party app, then problem solved. But that's not the case. Everybody wants to use what they want to use.
Bro, so imagine, RCS would be that fallback. Imagine if, all right, if today they did away with SMS and MMS, we wouldn't have, and we just had RCS and Apple users had iMessage, we wouldn't have any way to communicate with each other. You know what I mean? You would have to go and download that third party app. So mm-hmm. I just think it's just such a weird thing that, you know, it's not even about, like, I feel like if Google wasn't the one that kind of spearheaded this RCS adoption, that Apple would, it would be a no-brainer for them if they could just put that as another feather in their cap to their, you know, like, privacy washing that they do, mm-hmm. and just say, yeah, we're super secure. We've got iMessage and we've got RCS. But because it's Google specifically and because it benefits Android users in any small way, then I feel like Apple is just, you know, being petty about it. That's how I feel about it.
And I do agree with you about Google. They need to stop campaigning about it and do what they... I like what they did, how they swapped a little messaging emoji thing around and made iPhone users have it.
I love that.
That's what they need to do in the background without marketing it to Apple. Because eventually Apple is going to have to figure a way to make their users have a better experience. Because I told you, I said this a long time ago, Trench had made a post that Apple has something about the messaging or making their users have the best experience ever. But right now, with what Google did, it's breaking the experience of iPhone users when Android people text them. Now, Google is claiming that, you know, they love iMessage and how it works to make their users have the best, you know, messaging experience. Now it's broken. So what are you going to do to fix that for them? Because you don't want to equip RCS. You want everybody to go buy an iPhone.
Buy your mom an iPhone.
You already know, but everybody don't like iPhones, bro. I'm sorry to say it. Like, no matter how much Apple, Lori, don't focus. See, and don't focus on her back there with the AirPods Max, bro. I'm done, bro. Why? Come back to me. I'm done. I'm done, bro. I'm telling you, y'all ain't gonna see me tonight. But with RCS or whatever like that, I prefer, you know, it to be, you know, just everybody and stuff like that. And it's going to end up forcing Apple eventually to, you know, do something or whatever eventually, because they're telling us something. We don't see our users complaining about it, but your users are, because they're complaining about bubbles. Your users are complaining about bubbles. Have you ever seen an Android user complain about a bubble?
Nope. I was just confused the first time I ever got a reaction message back from somebody with an iPhone. I was like, why does it say, you know, so-and-so loves my message? I was like, what the hell does this mean? That was the only time I could really complain about that stuff. But
So
the thing is, Apple, I feel like this may be like part of Apple's like long-term strategy. Google can't like make RCS universal, because the only way to communicate with Android to iPhone is still SMS. I feel like that's the only thing holding Google back from like just saying, forget it, everybody RCS now, every Android in the world RCS now. But I feel like that's the major thing holding them back, is that Apple won't adopt it and SMS is the only way to like form that connection.
Yep, because not only is it more secure and more privacy centric, it's also going to make communication that much better, because we will be able to have those, for lack of a better word, richer communications with, you know, just being able to send higher quality like pictures and videos and things of that nature, you know. So
that's the whole point right there. That is the whole point right there.
Yep. But Apple don't want that. They don't.
And again, they're breaking their users' experience, not ours. We don't have a problem with that. Is they the ones that get the green bubbles? They the ones that get little messaging. I mean, videos we do too on the other end, but they the ones that care about this blue green bubble situation. So they're the ones, and ours is always blue. We don't care. We really don't care. You know,
I really don't care. But to that. To that point, though, still talking about like messaging a little bit. I said earlier, I got my whole family on Signal. So basically, if you can't message me on Signal, I make you message me on iMessage or Google Messages, because I want to ensure that all of our conversations are, private and secure, end-to-end encrypted. Exactly. Like the thing that Signal does that is better is, whenever they got tapped by the feds for stuff, like they don't have any information to give on their users. Just basically they have the phone number that they signed up with and the date that they signed up. And I think maybe also who the messages were from, but nothing about like the message content itself can be recovered because it's completely end-to-end encrypted, but not just end-to-end encrypted, but zero knowledge encryption. That's the other thing. Going back to also the thing about Google's VPN versus Proton VPN. Proton VPN, that's going to be, zero knowledge. Whereas Google, they are keeping logs on your internet traffic. So it's, stuff is private only to a certain extent in some of these arenas. But yeah, Signal is like probably one of my favorite ways to communicate with people across the board, hands down.
And I use Telegram with my family and friends. So
that's what we use. I like Telegram, but their encryption is not by default. The end-to-end encryption is not by default. And that's a big problem. That's a big problem for me.
I think I heard something about it's supposed to be coming or whatever, because I think that's like mainly big everybody's complaint about it.
Yeah.
That you have to go into the private chat if you want or whatever. But I started on it when they dropped we had Hangouts at first, and then they let go of Hangouts, and then I had Allo, and then after Allo, I was like, look, I just got to use a third party. then go back to her. Get up in here. Headphones, bro. Oh, she jamming too. Look at her.
She getting it.
They didn't curve the light up. Do you see them lit? They lit up in the background, bro. Like, lit up. Her, man. Dang, I almost lost track. All right, so anyways, I switched to Telegram because I had to use a third party app because Google just kept like dropping everything, and it was just so frustrating because me moving my family from Hangouts. Now Hangouts was default, so everybody had that at first. At one point, oh no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. All right, here we back. I'm sliding her away. I ain't getting on her no more. All right, so with that being said, they dropped Allo. I thought Allo was cool and everything like that. We wanted them to add SMS to Allo. Can you believe that? At the time, we wanted SMS.
That's crazy,
right?
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness.
Allo would have been so perfect at the time if they had SMS, but they
I loved Allo too.
Yeah, man. And then I had to switch to I tried Signal and I just didn't. Grab onto it, gravitate to it. I tried WhatsApp and gravitate to it. And then Telegram was where I landed at. And here I am now. So Telegram it is.
I forgot about WhatsApp, man. Like there was like an ad or something that WhatsApp did talking about how their stuff is so private. Like, dude, you're owned by Meta. Like this, you're not going to convince me that anything you do is private.
Out of the woodworks making commercials and stuff. I was watching football last week. I'm like, WhatsApp making US-based messages? What in the world?
They have end-to-end encryption as well, but it's like, yo, okay, who has the keys? It's like the doors are locked, but who has the keys? Mark Zuckerberg has the keys. I don't want to be in that house where Mark Zuckerberg has the keys.
Right.
That is so true, man. I do worry about the end-to-end stuff or whatever like that a lot. Maybe, it's false advertisement. I mean, false belief to us that we're thinking that our data is actually encrypted because, again, we're uploading this stuff over the internet. How much do we really know? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. A good example is like literally what happened with Apple. People have been downloading apps from the store all this time. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew all these years that Apple has been actually tracking that information this whole entire time, so. Like I said, we never know the real extent of all of this stuff. And this is why I will say, is privacy a real thing? Or is it an illusion that it gives you comfort at night to feel like you are or do have the privacy? Because at the end of the day, we're using someone else's services. Mm-hmm. We're using someone else's apps. We have to sign in with information. How much trust do you actually have
for that? Yeah,
exactly. So, you got to have a mindset where, where you feel like you're protected. And I think that's what Apple does well with their users. They give them that sense of belief that we're taking care of you. It's private. Nobody's going to know. But in reality, that's not really what's happening in the background. But it gives them that sense. While everyone who uses like Google products is like, well, if you don't care about your data, you don't care about your data, you don't care about your data. I mean, y'all heard it. You heard it 1,000 times. Why are you using Google Photos? You don't care about your data. Yep. Like, bruh, at least Google is telling me what they're doing with it, you know. But numerous times you've seen Apple get caught under the sun, and it's just crazy. And then you know people don't even talk about it half of the time. You know, there's a few YouTube channels that I do see talk about it. I guess there's all the ones that's black market from Apple, so they don't care. So they're gonna speak up, but the ones that are not, they're not gonna speak up about that stuff. So it's just crazy, man. So privacy is, to me, it's like a 50-50 is illusion, and some of it, it's not. It depends. It really depends.
You brought up a one key word there that I think is very important when it comes to like privacy minded things. If you're trying to be private, trust. You said trust. That is a huge thing. And that's why I kind of lean more so towards free and open source software, because you can at least verify the code and see that, okay, it is not doing something malicious. I think that is the big thing. But if something is closed source, you can't necessarily say. So going back to Apple, Apple's that's closed source, walled garden, you can't verify one way or the other if their stuff is truly private or truly secure. Whereas if, you know, if I can bring in the Calyx OS again, I can go and verify the code. As much as I know how to, which is kind of limited, but I can count on other people who know better than I do to verify the code and see that Calyx is not doing anything insidious with my data, with my information. So yeah, trust is a huge part of it, because at the end of the day, you don't know. You're not sitting over there, you know, watching over the dudes, the app developer's shoulder to make sure they're not stealing anything. So, you know, trust is a really big part of it. So I'm glad you actually said that.
Yeah. So definitely.
Yeah. So that's a really good point that you said. The advantage of those open source apps are that they are, you could prove it. You could prove it. You could prove what they're doing.
I mean, time and time again, I don't mean to interrupt you, but time and time again, like companies like Proton or Signal, they've, you know, the feds have come in, you know, come knocking at their door the same way they knock at Facebook's door, Apple's door, and stuff like that to get information on users. But they're just like, we don't have anything because we're not keeping that information. We're not tracking that information. So, yeah, I just wanted to make that point.
So, yeah, still talking about open source apps. You gave me a few more on Twitter. AntennaPod, is that security and privacy related, or is that just like a preference thing?
More so just FOSS related, because just using apps where, you know, like it's free and it's open source, so you can verify the code. That's more so a thing for me. So it may not necessarily always be just like a privacy conscious thing, but just the fact that I can verify this information or trust folks that know better than me to verify it. So AntennaPod, that's just a podcast catcher. It's an alternative to using Google Podcasts, because they're going to be monetizing and scraping that data as well. With AntennaPod, I can, you know, get the RSS feeds of all of my podcasts. Again, inconveniencing myself for privacy and security. I got to go and get all the RSS feed links to all of my favorite podcasts, put them in the app, and then I can have all of my, you know, podcast subscriptions in there. But they do have some podcasts already listed in there, like a lot of popular podcasts, but I listen to a little bit more obscure stuff sometimes, so I have to go and get the RSS feed, plug it in, and then I'll be getting those weekly updates when they drop new episodes and whatnot. So yeah, AntennaPod is pretty cool.
I got you. And then Infinity for Reddit.
Yes.
Why do you use that app?
Infinity, because number one, it's a much prettier looking Reddit client, number one. And number two, of course, it's privacy and security. Well, I guess more so privacy related, but again, it's FOSS. But you can get that one on the Google Play Store or the F-Droid.
I was just going to ask that because I'm going to download it.
Infinity is dope. And you can customize stuff. I mean, I feel like it's just a lot more customizable and just a little bit more pretty to look at for me rather than just a regular Reddit client, because there's been plenty of Reddit, you know, third-party clients out there for years. People, what is that one, Alien Blue and all that kind of stuff that people use. I've never used any of that, but Infinity is pretty cool. But you do have to log into your Reddit account through Infinity. So again, there's that trust piece. You're trusting that Infinity is, you know, not doing anything insidious with their data. But by it being on the F-Droid store, it has been basically verified to not be doing anything insidious with your data, because not just any app can be on the F-Droid store. Yeah. It has to be free, open source software. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's a dope app. I actually downloaded it when you brought it up on Twitter a few days ago. It's really nice.
if you have an iPhone, I feel like the iPhone equivalent of that would be Slide. That's also a false app, Slide, but some people don't like that. I remember what's my boy's name, Septian, on Twitter. He was saying he didn't like that.
Septian doesn't like anything. But yeah, I think we're gonna wrap this up now. We had a really dope conversation about security and privacy right now. I appreciate all your insight, Rafe. Like, for sure.
Well, thanks.
Dope guest to have, for sure. I think you're the first, no, second guest. You're the second guest on this show. So we appreciate you and your time. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks. You made it. I definitely appreciate y'all, asking me on. Like I said, I'm not any expert in this kind of stuff. It's just like things that I do in my own life just to make me feel like I'm taking a little bit more of my privacy back.
It's always good to hear from a regular user than like these experts and stuff, because it feels normal talking to a normal person, man.
Yeah.
Day to day, how we use our stuff.
Yeah, right.
Because this is a tech podcast. We do need to know what is your daily phone, watch, and buds. We got to know that information.
Bruh. All right. So Pixel 7, standard Pixel 7. Okay. I don't use the telephoto or anything on the 7 Pro, so I just got the regular Pixel 7. And I got this really lovely case from Bellroy. Got the Pixel Watch. I got the Rinky bezel on here as well.
The magnetic strap right there that you got?
No, I got the regular, like, the athleisure joint. Okay. I bought a new strap the other day, this cloth strap, and this thing, it stinks, it smells weird, and then it's also very thin. It's very thin. So I just put the athleisure joint back on, but I got the leather strap as well, direct from Google. Actually, it's right here. I didn't know I had it right here, but I got this one as well. I'm gonna probably swap that one back on. And then my buds. For me, you're kind of making me do like a everyday carry sort of thing. For me,
you got there, bro.
Since I do dabble both in iOS and Android, the AirPods Pro 2, and then where are my Pixel Buds? I don't see my Pixel Buds over here, but I use those quite regularly as well. But I recently got
one, the A series or the Pros?
Oh, the pros, especially since they got the 5-band EQ update, and I'm waiting for whenever they drop the spatial audio. Because my biggest gripe when the Pixel Buds dropped was like the sound was terrible. But now that I can EQ them, I like them a lot more.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I was using Wavelength headphones.
Oh, the headphones I'm rocking right now, the XM5s, the Sony WH-1000 XM5s. I love these things. They're so light on my head. I love them.
I got the M3s right here, but I'm going to get the 5s because of that one back there. Stole those ones from me.
Oh man, the fives are amazing. I think you're gonna like them. They don't have as much clamping pressure as the fours and the threes, so I think you'll like them.
Definitely. Yeah, I can't wait, man.
All right.
Yeah, that's what's up. We're going to wrap this up. We may meet next week or the week after. I know next week is the holiday. We're going to have Patar from Direct Tech. He's going to be talking about his experience switching from iPhone to Pixel again because of how bad iOS 16 is. And that's going to be fun. We're definitely going to need at least one more guest to balance him out, because I know he's going to go absolutely insane with that.
He's going to go ham. It's going to be his stream. I'm excited about that stream next week because
me too. So
he's learning a lot. He's learning a lot of things that I told him about living with Apple and iOS. I mean, Android and iOS at the same time, because I use Mac and I use iPads and stuff. He was like, how do you make that stuff work when my main phone is an Android phone? Because I definitely do not carry my iPhone anymore. And, he's learning now, and he's going to explain. Yo, just watch it next week. If you're watching this,
for sure,
next week is going to be crazy, bro.
This was like a show conversation. I know for a fact next week is going to be like 0 to 100. That's just how Patar is. We appreciate all the viewers for sure. Again, thanks Ray for joining us, and we're gonna log out now.
All right, thank y'all for coming.